and welcome to a very special edition of Cannabis Insider. I'm Abby Higginbotham, and with me, as always, is Pato Little.
Thank you, Abby. Big hello to all our listeners. And as you said, we have a very special episode today. Actually, a bit of a treat for you, because we will be talking to Miguel Martin, CEO of Aurora Cannabis. As you may know, Aurora is one of the largest cannabis exporters from Canada. They just announced their earnings report, and we will be talking to their CEO about their strategies and what are the main decisions that took them to this point. So I think we can go ahead and get started.
Without further ado, Miguel, it is great to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's just jump right into it.
All right. Yes, I guess it must be a pretty busy day for you. So again, thanks for your time. And let's kick off with the first question. Aurora's third quarter report shows a notable 41% increase in international medical cannabis revenue and a significant reduction in net loss from the previous year. Can you walk us through the key factors driving these positive outcomes, and how they reflect Aurora's strategic positioning?
Well, listen, as you mentioned, we just announced earnings this morning, and we were thrilled to have record earnings. Fifth quarter being adjusted EBITDA positive, and the announcement of acquiring, you know, a significant asset in Australia, which is one of the fastest growing international markets in the world. I think, you know, as a company, as you said earlier, that is uniquely focused on medical cannabis, you know, we look at, you know, three sort of key areas. First and foremost is our global footprint, and we are now the largest manufacturer in federally legal markets. And we operate in over 12 countries with key markets such as Canada, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, UK, France, and now Australia. I think secondly, we have some of the world's largest EU GMP production facilities leveraging our genetics and science business that allow us to produce high quality products that we can ship around the world. And then third is, you know, a commitment to our patients and our clinicians in each of those markets to try to do that. And, you know, the medical cannabis market is very strong. It's got margins in the low 60s. It's growing rapidly. And as you mentioned, our international business grew 40% year over year. So I think, you know, we're very excited about our opportunities and particularly excited about Australia right now.
And that's absolutely what I want to get into next, is that acquisition in Australia. Definitely turning heads. How does this move fit into Aurora's larger strategy, especially with APAC region heating up and potential moves into the U.S. market?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. So first and foremost, you know, we intend to be free cash flow positive by the end of the year. And you couple that with over $200 million on the balance sheet and no debt on the cannabis business at the end of this month. And I think it's, you know, a compelling story. Australia, which many people may not know, is about the same size as Canada, which is the largest federally legal medical market in the world, and it's growing significantly. It's about $400 million a year. And in medical cannabis, unlike rec cannabis, you see great consolidation in market share. So you see in most countries, four or five companies can represent almost 80 or 90% of the business. So the company we acquired is the number two player in that rapidly growing market. Wonderful business that was run by a previous pharmacist, focused on, you know, the clinician-led market, which is similar to Germany, and will be margin accretive and from a profitability standpoint, be accretive from day one. So we're really excited about the market. It's a regulatory forward market. And as I mentioned, clinician-led market, which is consistent with our expertise in other markets.
Yeah, that's a very insightful perspective, Miguel. Thank you very much. And actually, I wanted to dig a little bit deeper on one previous thing you said about EBITDA, actually. With Aurora achieving its fifth consecutive quarter of positive adjusted EBITDA, what specific financial strategies and operational efficiencies have been implemented to reach this milestone? That's one question. And also, how do you plan to maintain this positive trend?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there are really sort of three key parts. Well, the first is the top line, which is having, you know, strong high margin revenues. And we have that. Our average medical margins are in the low 60s, which compared to the rec business, say in the mid 20s, gives you a lot of flexibility around profitability. Secondly, our cost structure. We think we're one of the most efficient and effective manufacturers of cannabis products And as we previously announced, took another $40 million out. And as we talked about, no debt. And so with today's interest rates for cannabis companies being in the double digits, you know, flipping the script there and actually earning interest on the over $200 million we have allows us to have a very effective and portable process. Now, you can export EU GMP cannabis from Canada all around the world. So we take advantage of those world-class genetics and efficiencies by doing that. And so you put that all together and continued growth like you have with this, and you put yourself in a position to not only be profitable, but also be profitable from a free cash standpoint.
And given all these actions in the financial market, Aurora's stock and its appeal as an investment are hot topics. So especially with the bold steps that you've taken, like share consolidation and strategic acquisition. These questions are going to be very wordy. We're going over a lot of things today, but how do you pitch Aurora's value to investors in today's like unpredictable financial climate?
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly been, the sector has been under a lot of pressure as there have been sort of ebbs and flows. I think, unfortunately, many of the companies trade together, which is, you know, disappointing because each of the companies are sort of constructed differently. And we're a medical company first, focused on global medical cannabis, high margin. And I just don't know that that's been appreciated as much as it could be. But, you know, all we can do is create an incredibly sustainable and healthy business. So I think, you know, your average shareholder, you know, should know a couple of things. First is you should continue to be bullish on medical cannabis globally. We're seeing big, large markets like Germany pass comprehensive legislation, new markets like Switzerland and Austria that, you know, have a lot of upside. And as we talked about, Australia being over $40 million. So there are no backward trends in terms of global cannabis. The margins are also good. And, you know, as many people may not believe it, but you can make money in this business. And so I know a lot of eyes are on the U.S. and people are looking for that type of pivot, but it's a big world out there. And hopefully, you know, shareholders and other, you know, key stakeholders understand the differentiation that is Aurora and why Aurora is going to continue to be successful going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating to me to hear about the behind the scenes of these decisions and strategies. And actually, I was just thinking about investment as you spoke, and as it's a really important catalyst for expansion right now in the cannabis business, and also a really difficult thing to access. So in the launch of in the innovative cultivars that have been highlighted as a key driver for the increased sales in Europe and Australia, can you discuss the development process of these cultivars and their expected impact on Aurora's product portfolio and market share?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, Aurora may have one of the largest, if not the largest, genetic libraries for cannabis in the world. We have an incredibly advanced facility on the west coast of Canada on Vancouver Island that does cutting edge work in sort of three key areas. First is what you mentioned, which was innovative new cultivars meeting the needs of our patients and our consumers around the world. The second part that not a lot of people spend a lot of time on would be around yield per square meter. And so we've been able to improve our yield per square meter. So taking the same facilities with the same cost structure and the same inputs, and getting in many cases 30 to 40% more yield per square meter, which makes a significant difference. And lastly is around plant health. You know, there are very common issues and pathogens around cannabis plants, and having more resistant, you know, cultivars allows you to, you know, maximize that. We feature indoor facilities, which really allows us to have consistent production year round. And when you're looking for EU GMP, which is a requirement for all of these markets, indoor also works better. The other thing with these genetics is many of these markets have their own very stringent testing, unlike anything you see in North America. Germany, for example, does their own testing, and you have to be within 10% of the THC number, which is very difficult to do. So having precision with these new genetics and high yield of those genetics gives you a significant advantage. Now, with Canada, we've been able to learn a lot about patients and clinicians, and we leverage a common portfolio across all of those 12 countries, which gives us maximum flexibility. And I think is one of the reasons why we've been successful in so many markets.
And that's definitely an understatement. You guys have been incredibly successful. And now on the financial front, kind of going back, aiming for positive free cash flow by 2024, I would say is quite a headline, especially with the world leaning towards cannabis legalization. Mm-hmm. How are these global shifts fueling innovation at Aurora and propelling you towards those financial milestones?
Well, you know, when you look at some of these key markets, what you see very quickly is that patients are looking for high quality products that are in stock, that are leveraged by a network of you know, key folks, whether those are salespeople, government relations, manufacturing, operations, compliance, QA. Everyone, I think, sort of sometimes lose sight of the fact that these are medical products. These are medicines for patients that are being prescribed by doctors and are being fulfilled through pharmacies. And that's a big distinction from what I think most people, you know, view as medical cannabis that they might come across, say, in North America. And so the rigor and the pharma style production and approach makes a huge difference in highly regulated markets like Western Europe and Eastern Europe and now Australia. And so you have to make those investments. It takes a long time in order to, you know, have that capability. But once you have it and meet the incredibly high standards of those markets, it's very portable because it is the same requirements in almost all of these European and APAC countries.
Thank you very much, Miguel. And given those insights, looking forward to the fourth quarter and beyond, Aurora expects steady revenue from Canadian medical and consumer segments and a more modest growth in Europe and Australia. So my question is, what are the key initiatives and market conditions that underpin this outlook, and how does Aurora plan to address potential changes in these segments?
Great. So I'll take them in sort of four buckets in the four pieces of our business. The consumer business in Canada continues to be a challenge. The illicit market still represents about half of all sales. And so you have to manage your exposure to that business. And we think we've done that very well. And it will turn around. And at that time, we'll take advantage of it. The medical market, we continue to make significant investments. We are number one by a mile. We have a 25 share. We'll continue to grow share by offering new products and new services to our patients, particularly our veteran patients in Canada. And then as you look internationally, we'll continue to grow. Obviously, this acquisition is going to be accretive day one, which gives us, you know, an additive impact in that quarter you mentioned. And also, we continue to see steady growth. And we're hopeful and supportive of changes in the legislation that we're seeing in Germany, which is one of the largest economies in the world, where only 0.1% of the adult population is in the medical system. And I think what a lot of people also don't know is in many cases, in these markets, cannabis is in the reimbursed, insured portion of the medical system. So they're being reimbursed for these medicines like in other medicines, and that should expand in Germany as well. Lastly, we own a very successful propagation business, one of the largest in North America, non-cannabis. And, you know, they'll be additive too. So on all those levels, we think we're going to increase. We saw margins go up in all our core businesses, Q3 over Q2. And, you know, we continue to see that. And just potentially there might be, you know, more acquisitions, you know, in the future.
And I feel like we've kind of gone over this in this conversation, but I just kind of want to hone in on it. So how are these going back, kind of how are these changes in cannabis policy and regulation affecting Aurora's business strategy, especially in those major markets that we've talked about?
Well, I mean, you know, because almost the entirety of all these changes are focused on the medical segment, Aurora benefits disproportionately. So there was a lot of news in Germany, and we were supportive of potential changes to the rec market. That didn't happen, and they're still working through that. But the changes in the medical market, you know, descheduling cannabis as a narcotic there, allowing patients and clinicians and pharmacies to, you know, easily handle that product will be significantly additive to someone like Aurora, who's the number one supplier of the non-payer business in Germany. When you look at Australia, they're getting stricter with the regulations, and that's something that we support. And so if you can navigate the production and packaging and labeling, then you're going to grow your business even further. And so, you know, I think a lot of people would be looking for greater speed in the change of these regulations. But I would remind them, you know, in many markets, we're not even a decade into it. And from a pharmaceutical standpoint, that's not that long. The good news is they're not going backwards. And, you know, that's why we support a lot of these key markets, you're not seeing a rollback of any of the access points or benefits of cannabis. And you're also not seeing margin compression in the medical business. And so as crazy as it may be, you know, low 60s is not a particularly high margin in the pharmaceutical business. But if you compare that to the mid 20s in the rec cannabis business, you know, we're happy to have the low 60s.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Miguel, for that very detailed answer. And I have one more question on my side, maybe going back to square one, because Aurora Cannabis isn't just a name. I mean, it's a phenomenon in the cannabis world. So I'd love to hear about your journey with Aurora and what makes it such a heavyweight in the international scene.
Yeah, so I've spent my entire career, you know, working in regulated products and working with folks like the FDA, and now having the benefit of working in Health Canada. And as cannabis, particularly medical cannabis, had to evolve from its early days into much more of a pharmaceutical, regulatory forward, science-based business, you know, I think that played well into my skill set. We have filled the company almost entirely with very, very senior and experienced pharmaceutical folks to augment the incredible experience that we have inside the company with people working on cannabinoids and cannabis flowers. And I think that balance has really benefited us. You know, the regulators, whether they're in Canada or in Western Europe or Eastern Europe or in Australia, they all speak together. And so having a strong reputation of being responsible, being medical first, really benefits us. And, you know, as an example, we're one of only three manufacturers that has a facility in Germany. And we get a lot of experience with those regulators as they see pharma grade EU GMP product being produced within their own country. So I think the future is incredibly bright for cannabis, but particularly medical cannabis. And I think if you look at the conversations that are happening in big markets like Western Europe and Eastern Europe, it's exciting. We're even excited about new conversations happening in places like Ukraine, where a lot of the vets there are looking for the benefits that we see in North America, given the horrific situation there. So, you know, I think futures again, very bright. And if you have the balance sheet and you have the right profitability, I think you'll disproportionately be able to take advantage of it.
And I think that leads us to our last question. I want to say too, as you're explaining, you guys are doing, you're incredibly successful as a company. And so we're honored to have you on today, but looking into the future, mm-hmm. last question, the cannabis landscape is anything but static. You know, looking past 2024, what's Aurora's strategy? Are there particular markets or segments that you're zooming in on that maybe you could kind of take a sneak peek with us and talk about, like kind of the evolving Canadian market or possibly, you know, expansion into the US?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think first and foremost, we'll continue to do what we've done, which is focus on medical cannabis and serving our patients and clinicians. If you look at where expansion is going to happen today in Germany, it's 0.1% of the population's in the cannabis benefit. That's going to grow dramatically. If you look at key markets like Poland, Czech Republic, France, and UK, you're seeing really, really strong growth, and we expect to participate in that. You're also seeing things like clinical trials and other forms of review of cannabinoids and cannabis products become more mainstream and mainline, which is going to open up the patient base and the clinic base for greater patients. And we expect we'll take advantage of that as well. And there'll be other markets like Australia that very quickly come online that will be looking for regulatory forward companies. You know, as it pertains to the US, we spend a lot of time and keep an eye on the US. We're of the strong belief that at the federal level, which is what you've heard from the Biden administration, that it'll be medical first at the federal level. States will obviously continue to have the opportunity to pass legislation. And we know there's a lot of interest in what's happening in federally legal markets, such as the one that's in Canada, just directly north of them. So we'd be excited to be working with folks. We obviously have over a decade experience growing EU GMP regulatory forward products in Canada. That's going to be of deep interest to the MSOs in the U.S., let alone genetics and seed propagation. So we're excited about all of it. I think, you know, the good news is we don't have to change what we're doing to take advantage of those opportunities. We can just continue what we've done and leverage the learnings from all those key markets to new markets that come online.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly how, I don't know, how I thought like a cannabis giant would think about a future. And I think that's a great place to leave off. We wanted to thank you very much for your time, Miguel, and your very interesting insights about both Aurora and the industry. And I please come back anytime, of course.
We'd love to come back. We're awful thrilled at the interest that you take and the support you have for this great industry. Our best days are ahead of us, and the work you're doing here is really important, so we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for today's Cannabis Insider. Thank you for tuning in. Before we go, I really want to share that you shouldn't miss out on any Benzinga's content. We put it on a daily, and be on the lookout for our upcoming events, from our Cannabis Market Spotlight in LA to our Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in April. We also have some virtual events coming up. So for more information on how to get involved, check out benzinga.com/events.
Exactly. Very exciting dates coming. So also, as we always remind you, please do not forget to stay connected with us on all our social media channels for the freshest cannabis news updates. And if you want to, of course, you can also follow me and Abby. I'm Pato Little.
And I'm Abby Higginbotham. Stay green, stay informed, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Peace. Bye-bye.